song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing.
It's great to be here this morning. We welcome our visitors from Missouri who are with us. Appreciate you coming to be with us today. And want to be thinking of all those that Ted mentioned in prayer this morning. I appreciate his prayer. There are many questions that we can have on our minds and ask as we live each day, and questions about what is happening in the news or what is happening in the economy. But the most important question that we can ask any of us is, what must I do to be saved? And we cannot find that answer by going to the world or to the doctrines of men. We go directly to the Bible and we find the answer very clearly stated to us, what we must do in order to be saved. And for the person who has never named the name of Jesus Christ, it's very simple and it's very clear that in the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And we find that stated a number of times in the scriptures. And sometimes a person may know that and need a little more encouragement and urging to take that step. And we find in Acts 22 and verse 16 where the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus at that time, Ananias came to him and he said, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But for those who have taken that step and been baptized into Christ, we are able to always go back to that in our mind and recall when we were saved. And to be able to be very specific, I was saved when that day that I was baptized into Christ. And I obeyed the gospel and I did what the Lord commanded and instructed me to do. And I know that I was saved. My sins were forgiven when I obeyed Jesus Christ. We have many questions about our salvation as we then live the Christian life. And to be able to have a better understanding of our salvation and how God is working in our lives to bring that about and where we stand in that process is really a game changer for all of us as we live the Christian life. The better we can understand our salvation, I believe it strengthens our faith. It strengthens our hope. It helps us to be strong within ourselves as what we are doing. The purpose of our lives is very clear. And the work that is being done within us, how we are making progress in that. Now we find, as we look at our lesson this morning, that there are three tenses that God looks upon our salvation. And that there is past, and there is present, and there is future. And as we look into the scriptures and we understand better how God has saved us, how He is saving us, and how He is going to save us, We'll build up our faith, and it will help us to grow and be strong. We understand that as we now are living the Christian life, we are living between the past and the future. We are living between the time of what God has already done to save us, in that Jesus Christ has died on the cross and He has been raised from the dead, and we have obeyed that gospel instruction of being baptized into Christ. But now as we await that future time when Jesus is going to return And we will be able to receive up into heaven to enter into eternity. We are now living in that period of time in our life between the past and the future. And that period of time, we are living in this world. And this world of sin that we live in is full of many contradictions and many contrasts as we try to serve God. We are living in the flesh. And as the Bible makes very clear, the flesh wars against the spirit. And we are in this battle with our own life and our own bodies that we are living to be faithful to God. And we find that there are highs and lows in living the Christian life. That there are good days and there are bad days. There are victories, there are defeats. And there are days that we are filled with health and joy and happiness. And there are other days that we are trying to live the Christian life and we are filled with disease or we are filled with grief and sadness. And so we understand that there is a process that is happening in our lives in order for us to be saved. And that future time that is coming when Jesus has promised to come to the earth, that is the ultimate culmination, the ultimate goal of every one of us is to be prepared for that time when Jesus will return again. So this morning we want to look at three points that have to do with our salvation and different ways of viewing our salvation. As we can look back to the past, we can then look to the present, and then we can look to the future. And by looking in these ways to what God has done and what He is doing and what He is going to be doing, we can get a good grasp on what our relationship with God is and where we stand in this process, that we can have hope, we can have joy, we can have peace in our lives. So we want to, first of all, consider the fact of justification. That we have been, as a Christian, we have been justified. And understanding what that means in our life as a Christian. So we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 through 11. As a good passage to help us to understand what this is in our lives, to be justified before God, and that what happened there when we became a Christian, that we were justified. We have been justified as far as God is concerned in our relationship with Him. And we find here these words. He says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now I think as it helps to always look at the context here of a passage like this and to place this in the context of the Corinthians. The Corinthians, as they were living in the city of Corinth, and they obeyed the gospel. The Apostle Paul came to the city of Corinth, Acts chapter 18. And that account is found there in the book of Acts. And these people heard the gospel. They heard Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul made it very clear in his writings that he said, "And I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." They obeyed the gospel. And so he is writing to them now in the 1 Corinthians letter. And he says, "And such were some of you." Now what does he mean, "such were some of you"? We look back to verse 9 to get a better understanding of what he is saying. And he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So he is referring to them in their previous lives. What many of them had been, the way of life that they were living, the sinful way of life of the Corinthians. This was a very sinful culture and an ungodly world of moral living, immoral living that was taking place there in the city of Corinth. So it's understandable that he is mentioning this, that they were from a sinful past of their life. But he says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he is pointing out that they have now become washed and cleansed, and their sins are forgiven. All of these sins that they had lived, they are forgiven of those things. And they have been justified because they have obeyed Jesus Christ. And we sometimes find that people looking at their life, they actually have thoughts that God could never accept me. God could never love me. God could never forgive me. And we find here a great example of that to show that no matter what the life a person has been living, if they will give their life to Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus died for their sins, turn away from that life of sin that they are living, and commit themselves to following Jesus Christ, they will be forgiven of every sin they have committed. And the beautiful thing about that, when we look at the new covenant that God has given, and in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, one of the characteristics, it says, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. But what a beautiful thing to understand that as a Christian, we can be justified before God. And what does the word justified mean? Well, it is a word that means to declare guiltless one who is accused. So, we are all guilty before God of sin. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And while it might look like these people of the Corinthians, they were living extremely wicked lives, many of them, the same thing is true in reality to all of our lives, that we have sinned and broken the laws of God. And yet God will forgive us. God will justify us. And what justification means is like a legal term that God declares that person not guilty. And those charges dismissed. You can picture yourself being in a courtroom and having charges against you and standing before the judge, and the verdict is given and said, this is dismissed. These charges are dismissed. This person is free to leave and is not guilty of this crime. That is what this word is telling us. That God declares us to be guiltless, even though we were guilty and we had sinned against God. So justification is the work of God. It is the act of God that He declares us to be forgiven of our sins. And once that is given, then we know that we are in a right relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven. We have joy and peace, knowing that I have been forgiven by God. I am justified. I am innocent as far as God is concerned as He views my life. And it is the work of God. It has to be the work of God. We cannot declare ourselves innocent before God. We cannot forgive ourselves of our own sins. So therefore, it is God forgiving us. That is what the word justification says to us here. And in Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And thank you, Gary, for reading here from Romans chapter 5 earlier this morning. But he talks here about our salvation in these three tenses here in Romans chapter 5. But as we are a Christian, we're looking back in the past. We say we have been saved. We have been justified. God has justified us. And therefore, I know that I am in God's sight righteous before Him. And it is the work of God. Just as I said with the Apostle Paul, he had been persecuting the Christians. And yet Ananias came and he said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And he did so, and his life was changed. We find that in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, that Isaiah, God has always been of this attitude to man, that man has sinned, but God wants to extend to man invitation of forgiveness and to come back to God. And he says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." So God is a wonderful God to be able to offer to man forgiveness of our sins, even though we have sinned against God. And it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that God makes and extends this to us. And it is on the basis of that that we have this offer that is made to us, that if we come to Jesus Christ and we render ourselves to Him in faith and obedience to His gospel, that our sins will be forgiven because His blood was shed for us. In Hebrews 9 and verse 13 and 14, he said, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So it is the work of God that he has done on our behalf that makes it possible for him to declare us innocent before God and to remove that guilt and to declare us righteous in his sight. We find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 that when we are baptized into Christ, it is the answer of a good conscience before God. That when a person has been baptized, we have that answer of a good conscience in the sight of God. And it is the work of God. It is not the work that we do that makes this happen in our lives. Because in Colossians 2 and verse 12, I think it's very significant what he says here in Colossians 2 and verse 12, that he says that you were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God. You see that? Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. And all that a person we do is we allow ourselves to be buried in water and to be lowered into the water and to be raised up from the water. And we are not working in doing that. Someone is assisting us. We are passive. We are allowing ourselves to be baptized in water. But while this is happening, God is working. It is the work of God that He is performing that He declares us innocent before God. And that is justification. So that is past tense to the Christian as we live now. We can look back. We were justified when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what God did for us. Now, secondly, we are being sanctified. And that is an ongoing process. When we think of justification, that was a declaration of God that was given at that one In that moment that you were surrendering to God in obedience to the gospel, God made that declaration. That is a past event that has taken place. You have been justified by God. But when we look at sanctification, we see that we are being sanctified. That this is an ongoing process in the life of a Christian. And it is a continual process of being made holy before God. Now, again, in that passage that I mentioned before, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, he's talking about all those people of the Corinthians. They were thieves and they were covetous and all of these different sins that he names. He said, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he uses it there in the past tense, that you were sanctified. And whenever we are made righteous and we are raised up to walk in newness of life, we are sanctified because we're set apart to God. We are His child. We are His. We are in Christ. And in that sense, we are sanctified. But when we look into the Scriptures further, we begin to see that sanctification actually is an ongoing. We are being sanctified as we live and as we grow. Here in Hebrews 10 and verse 14, again, as he's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus, he said, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So he is speaking of this as a present thing that is happening in our lives. We are being sanctified. We are being cleansed of our sins. We're having sin removed out of our mind, out of our thinking, out of our words, and out of our actions. It's a process that God is working within us to renew us and to make us righteous. In fact, in our life, as we follow Jesus Christ, be conformed to Him. So it is not completed. At the moment of justification, we are being saved. We are being sanctified. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, I want to point out this verse. He says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, we, in one sense of the viewing our salvation, we see that when we obeyed the gospel, when we were baptized, you were justified, you were cleansed, your sins were forgiven. But as he is speaking of it here in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, he is saying, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, we find that this is the work that God is doing in us as we now live and follow Jesus Christ. God is working within us to help us remove sin from our thinking, to help us remove sin from our words that we speak and from our actions. Let me ask you this question. What have you been thinking about this morning? And what have you been saying this morning? And what have you been doing this morning? Well, I think as we think about our lives, we realize the fact that, yes, our sins have been forgiven, but we're still living in this world, and sometimes our thoughts aren't what they should be, and our words aren't what they should be, and our actions aren't what they should be. God is working, though, in us to purify this and to help us reach that goal as we grow in Christ. It's a process of growth that God is working on in us to help us be sanctified. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? To be sanctified comes from the same word of being a saint, being holy, being set apart to God. And as a Christian, we are set apart to serve God. God is holy. God is removed from all sin. He is totally pure and holy. And we are set apart to God. Therefore, we are devoted to God. We belong to Him. And in order for that, we need to be removing sin out of us. We need to get it out. We need to get it out of our thoughts. We need to get it out of our words. We need to get it out of our actions. And God is working in us to accomplish that. Through His Word, He is accomplishing it. Through His Holy Spirit, He is accomplishing this in our lives. And it is a process that is taking place. It is not fully realized. We are not to that point. Remember the Apostle Paul talking about his life? He said, I have not yet arrived, but I press on to the goal. Now, if the Apostle Paul had not arrived, then I think we can say for sure, we haven't arrived. That this is a process. And I don't know, sometimes a person may get a little puffed up with pride and say, I have been a Christian now so many years and I have grown so much, and begin to almost be thinking, I have arrived. It's good for us to remember that verse in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, I have not yet arrived. I press on to the goal of the mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. But it's a process, and God understands this, that in our life He is working within us to help remove the sin that is still there. That He has washed away all the sin of the past. When you obeyed the gospel, He washed that away and He said, I will never remember that again. But you get up from there, and the day that you're baptized, you're back living in the world, and we catch ourselves and we realize, you know what, I should not be having these thoughts that I'm having. And I should not have said that which I said, and I know I should not have done that which I did. We are not yet there. God is working, though, the process of sanctification in our lives to perfect holiness within us so that we can be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, And be ye holy, for I am holy, thus says the Lord. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, as he is writing here once again, it's good for us to see the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 leading in here to chapter 7. And he said, And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So God wants us to separate ourselves from the things of this world. And we're talking about Lot in the Bible study this morning, how he moved his family into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the effect that that had upon his family. So we are living in a world of sin, but we need to keep ourselves separate from that in pure to God and holy, and God working within us to help bring that about. So the one other verse that I wanted to point out is in Philippians chapter 2 and in verses 12 and 13. And So he says here in Philippians 2 and verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." But notice also that he said in verse 13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Well, I'm sure thankful that verse is there. Verse 13. Because otherwise it would mean that I have to work out my own salvation and God's not there to help me. But verse 13 is there, and what it's saying is God is here to help us. That when we are cleansing ourselves and we are getting these words out of our vocabulary and we're getting these thoughts out of our thoughts, that it is God who's doing this. Not just ourselves. God is working in us. Remember how Jesus said, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing." And in John chapter 17 and verse 17, when Jesus was speaking with the disciples, he said, "And sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth." So it's when we have God's word in us, and we are dwelling within God's word, and the word of God is dwelling in us richly, that we are being sanctified, and we're being made, and we're growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. But now the third is we will be glorified. We will be glorified. And this will take place whenever Jesus Christ comes again. And that will be the final victory. That will be the final ultimate day of victory, of living and serving the Lord and our salvation being made complete. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, he said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God is, that is the goal, and God is working that when Jesus Christ comes again, we will be completely sanctified. We will be body, soul, and spirit prepared for the Lord. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul there speaking, he said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform your lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So that is part of we will be glorified when that day comes. We will have a new body. We will be raised up to be with the Lord in heaven and transformed within and without. And we will be new creatures there to enter into eternity. In Romans chapter 8, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And he goes on talking about that process of how we are growing and being made righteous. And in verse 18 he said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." And he said, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And coming on down to verse 28, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's going to be the ultimate conclusion to everything that God is doing in our lives. We are going to be glorified with Him and with His Son. And with all the redeemed souls from all ages of time. In 1 John 3, verse 1, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Bless you. But in verse 3, he says, "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." As we look at these processes, it's the work of God that's being done, but we have our part to do. When it comes to the justification, we have to make that decision like Saul of Tarsus. "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And when it comes to our sanctification, as he said there in Philippians chapter 2, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working within you." But we have our part to do. We need to be working on this. We need to be getting those thoughts out, getting that sin out of our lives. And God is helping us. God's with His Word and with His Holy Spirit. He is helping us do this. But we have our part in that. And whenever it comes to this glorification of Jesus that's going to come when He returns to this earth, just like it says here, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And why has God chosen to save us this way? To have the justification, the sanctification, the glorification, three different time tenses, three past, present, and future. And we're striving and we're overcoming and we're the battle of the flesh and the spirit and all of this. And God is working in us. Why has He done it this way? And the answer is because we're not going to be able to get there and stand before God and say, "I did this on my own." None of us will be able to say that. It was what Jesus did when He died on the cross. And He was raised from the dead. And it's the gospel and the declaration of God that He is a loving God, that is a merciful God, that is willing to, "I declare you innocent. You are justified in my sight." And as you're working out your salvation, I'm working in there with you to help you get that sin out. And as I have promised, my Son, Jesus Christ, is going to return to this earth, and your body is going to be transformed into His body, into a glorious body, and you're going to be glorified throughout all eternity. And we're not going to be able to be there and say, "Lord, I did this on my own." We're going to all be down on the ground and we're going to be thanking Him. "Praise You, Lord, for all that You have done to make it possible for us, the sinners that we were, to be able to be here in heaven with You and singing these praises to You throughout eternity." As we look at our life and we wonder sometimes, "Am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? How am I doing?" You know, we look at our lives, where am I in this process? How am I doing? But we look at Philippians 1 and verse 6. And this is the last verse that I want to give this morning. Philippians 1 and verse 6, he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." See that? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. That gives me hope. That gives me great encouragement. That it's God who's working in my life. And he who has begun a good work will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song that is selected, number 745. If there's any here today, thank you for your kind attention to the lesson. Hopefully this helps us all to be able to have a better understanding how our salvation actually is working. What God is doing in our lives today. We'll stand and sing number 745. 745.